Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. Kathy Hackle here, the host of Adweek's Metaverse Marketing Podcast. While we wait for Season 3 to debut later this year, we wanted to drop some bonus episodes to get you excited about what's coming. In this bonus episode, we interviewed Gary Vaynerchuk for Season 3. Gary needs no introduction. And we talked about everything from Metaverse, Web3, AI, and beyond. I hope you enjoy this bonus episode with Gary Vee. So wanted to start off, in one of your recent videos, you said that in the internet in 1999, the stocks declined because those companies were built on the gold rush greed. You know, but the technology they had changed our lives forever. You know, NFT technology is going to change our lives forever. Tell me more about what that looks like to you and how will NFT technology change our lives forever?
Decentralized contracts just make a lot of sense because they're non-alterable. They're stored in it. I mean, we literally still have this incredible misunderstanding that a lot of contracts are stored by centralized servers run by companies or organizations that are potentially vulnerable, right? Even in accepting that some municipalities and frameworks are built on technology, a lot of things are still built on paper. And so like, it just seems very obvious to me, like deeds and title insurance and things of that nature make so much sense. And that's mundane, that's like boring, but I think that will be in the NFT form. That's a non-fungible token that has the contract. I also think things like airline tickets used to be paper, now they're QR codes. I don't see why people can't see how easy it would be for that to be an NFT. And then NFTs that sit with royalties. You know, you think about a Starbucks mug. You can see all the collectibles behind me. Like Starbucks puts out these mugs, they sell them for $20 around the world, whatever it costs. Then you go to eBay and they're selling for $95 because it's a rare one from Sri Lanka. Well, Starbucks doesn't participate in that, even though they're the original IP holder. But a musician, when their song is played, has the publishing rights and the royalties. The publishing royalties framework for all things just seems logical to me and I think is in the vested interest of the IP creator. And so I think you're gonna see that happen and that will lead to creativity. Now all of a sudden Delta during November when they're supporting Susan J. B. Komen Foundation, instead of just like their tickets being pink, they may commission 7 artists that are dealing with survivors from breast cancer, all of which design our NFT tickets. There's an NFT reader at the Delta Hub now, just like we have scanners that read QR codes now. And what if, God forbid, aka please God willing, one of those artists was 25 and they had this big trauma in their youth with early breast cancer. She goes on to become a She Johnson or and who knows, Jackson Pollock and Andy Warhol, a Banksy, an iconic artist 25 years later. Well, now all of a sudden, no different than me buying an X-Copy Plasma Bear, that's already happened. X-Copy is one of the most important contemporary artists in NFT land. There was a project in 2017 called Plasma Bears. X-Copy designed, I think, 2 or 3 of those bears. It was like Build-A-Bear, so you had to put it together. There's a couple of complete bears that are X-Copy, and I have one of those. Well, in this story that I'm making up in the future, that becomes a profit center for Delta and it becomes a profit center for the user. It's when there's something that benefits both, think about the scenario I just said. She goes on to become humongous. People want to collect her art. One of her first arts was a November Delta ticket design from 2031. This is now 2052, right? People now go to the open blockchain and start buying up that art as she's building her fame because of some installation she did in Paris, and everyone's going nuts. Who benefits? I'll do it right now in real life. I today can go to my wallet on my iPhone, and here we go, right? Here is all of my different Delta. As a matter of fact, there you go. Beautiful, Delta.
Yeah, all your airlines.
And my American airline and my Delta, right? Like, this is rendering useless at this point. Mm-hmm. The thought that if this had a design on it, it was an NFT instead of the QR code, that in 21 years, no different than collecting comic books and sports cards years ago when they weren't worth anything. People bought Superman for 5 cents or whatever the comic was. And at the time, nobody thought in 480 years I could sell this comic for $1 million. That's what happened. The thought that that could be an airline ticket. And don't forget, I benefit because I have that airline ticket. So I sell it for $700. That's nice. Delta has a 5% commission on it, you know, royalty. Name, right? It just, why wouldn't every business, by the way, they also supported breast cancer artists. That's lovely. Commission them. By the way, that royalty is split between the artist and Delta. There's just a lot of good in what I just said, none of which is bad.
Mm-hmm. No, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it's really interesting. I was in Davos a couple weeks ago, spoke at the annual forum, and actually gave a PO-op right after I got off stage. And I was wondering, is this the first PO-op giving at a World Economic Forum event? And then I said, how does this benefit me as a creator? How does this benefit the people that are here? Is it, you know, in the future, they get access to like an exclusive secret chapter, right? How do you start? So I love what you're saying, because it's about not only the brands benefiting, but also the creator and the person that actually owns that, you know, that piece of data or memorabilia or whatever you want to call it. So I love that. And to that point, you said, you know, that you famously have said that 97 to 99% of NFTs are going to zero. You know, what makes a winner? Like, what, at the end of the day, when we look back 10 years, what is going to be the ones that don't go to zero? What is going to make them different? Is it community? Is it utility? What makes them different?
All of the above. On the art side, it is that she or he had the magic and got the world to fall in love. I mean, to this day, mm-hmm. I can't wrap my head around a Jackson Pollock. I can fully wrap my head around a Jackson Pollock. Mm-hmm. Let me explain.
Yeah.
For me, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Do I? That's the inner me. The outer me fully understands lots of people do.
Yeah.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Tall, muscles, short hair, freckles, blue eyes, brown eyes. That's just life, right?
Yeah.
I grew up knowing that because of wine, right? I tasted millions of wines in my life. Not really, but hundreds of thousands, probably.
Probably.
People love Opus One. I think it's one dimensional. People don't like Condru because it's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's the best white wine. Like, and you learn along the way that that's how life works. And so to answer your question, for the 1% of artists that just captured everyone's imagination, that will be it. And they're gonna need a promotional DNA. Jackson Pollock, Andy Warhol, Banksy, there's a promotional element, right? And then what I actually think on the other side is just operations. Like, Jeff Bezos was better. He was good. He was capable. And that's why Amazon was able to make it through that muckery. The PayPal, Elon, and that crew, they were better. They were just better. They managed their money better. They hired better. They marketed better. They operated better. One of the things that has always kept me, we know each other a little bit, Kathy. Like, when I started VaynerMedia, a lot of people made fun of me. I was a wine retailer, and I'm starting this agency in Adland. And 13 years later, I've built one of the largest independent agencies of all time. I knew that was going to happen. I know that V Friends is going to work because I'm going to work it. I'm going to do Toys R Us Macy's collabs. I'm going to do Reebok collabs. I'm going to do animation. I'm going to do books. I'm going to do storytelling. I'm going to try to build YouTube the way Cocomelon did. I'm going to try to build books like Golden Books did in the 60s and 70s. I'm going to try to do things that Fisher-Price did. I'm going to try to do things that Sesame Street did. I'm going to try to do things that Disney on Ice did. I'm going to try. And because I'm an operator and a businessman and a good one, enough of it's going to work. Much of it's not. And I also care about my consumer, and I care about the people that own the NFTs. I'm coming out with a very big innovation soon that I think is going to create deflationary aspects instead of inflationary aspects that will be healthy and storytelling. So I feel confident and I feel committed. I think one of the reasons I could tell 99 was going to go to zero is I knew for a lot of people this was flavor of the month. This was going to be their get rich quick. And they were selling real estate or cannabis or CBD or gambling or stocks 5 minutes ago. For me, going back to the other side of my shelf, whether it's wrestling figures or other things, I've been collecting and thinking about IP. There's unlimited videos of me in 2009, 10, 11, 12, talking about IP, talking about Star Wars this or wrestling that or Disney this. And so, I mean, my first business interview ever, they said, which entrepreneurs do I admire? And I said, from a storytelling standpoint and character development standpoint, Vince McMahon and Walt Disney. That was my first business interview at 22. So this for me was destiny, not, it was just the right platform. No, if I was older, that would have been making cartoons in the 80s to build out toys and other things like Transformers and He-Man. My destiny was that I was of the age where NFTs were the platform. But NFTs, right now, most people think that NFTs are beanie babies. I keep reminding my friends and contemporaries, NFTs are stuffed animals, which has been a universal product for over 150 years with the world. Underneath that, there are beanie babies. There are Cabbage Patch Kids. There are Raggedy Ann. There are Stife. There is Gund. There is Fly By Night stuff. There's everything, Squishmallows. Yes, I just need to make sure that NFTs is a macro thing that will win. The cat's out of the bag. It's too powerful. You're a technologist. It's like technology. It's going to win. QR codes, when I said they were going to win, looked like something I was wrong about. They weren't winning. 2012 or 15, or I'm trying to think back to, what are we in 2013? 15, 16, 14. Feels like that's right. I could be off by a year or two. When I would tell my team, like, this thing's going to work, there's no friction. I remember thinking that the default app had to get hot. I remember thinking, I thought that Twitter or I thought YouTube was gonna have it in its app. I didn't think to the point that it would be the default on the camera.
You probably weren't thinking of a pandemic, right? At that point, it's gonna make QR codes.
To your point of the punchline of the story, had the pandemic happens, had Apple and Google not have it as the default on the camera, it wouldn't happen to the degree that it's at. But we got there, then something happened, and we got there, and now QR codes really do matter. Same thing with NFTs. In the next 12 to 15 years, something's gonna happen, and then we're gonna be off to the races.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And I love what you're mentioning because you're playing the long game. I think just like me, I understand this is not about the hype that we're living through today or, you know, whatever is happening. It's the long term and what we build in the trenches. So I absolutely love that. I want to ask you a question because this is the Metaverse Marketing Podcast. Like, what are your feelings towards the metaverse? Like, what do you think about metaverse? Is it the future of the internet? Like, what is your take on that?
Yeah, and you probably know this because you stay very close to the streets. I've been very cautious on the metaverse part of it from the day one of yapping about this because I think it's early on consumer behavior. Do I believe that VR, especially as the device that delivers the VR continues to get smaller, all the way to the point of like, I don't see a scenario why it wouldn't be contact lenses or something very small. Do I think that that is a real shot? I do. I think when you look at the movies, you know, I was watching a movie the other day that was an era piece. Oh, it was actually the Jeff Bezos low budget Amazon Prime movie about Bezos. There was a scene there where the person's like holding a cell phone and it's like this. And I was smiling and I was like, that makes me feel like Oculus. Like I feel like in 25 years, we'll look back at the Oculus and be like, what the hell were people doing? Do I believe that in my lifetime, people will spend meaningful time in VR? I do. I don't think about things about tomorrow. I keep an eye on things about tomorrow. I don't focus on yesterday. I try to change a lot of my friends and contemporaries and clients to get away of being religious about yesterday. What I do is I'm a today champion. I focus on today. I don't have any needs for new technologies to come around, though I know they always do. AI, right now. But I definitely try to get people off of yesterday. Right? Like I told all my friends BlackBerry was gonna lose to the iPhone. They held on for dear life. They liked touching it so much. So I'm a champion of today, and metaverse is not here today in my opinion, but I'm keeping a heavy eye on it. No different back to the transition of AI. I looked at so many AI startups 2 years ago, and almost all of them were API or fake AI. They weren't AI. Now, are you kidding me with this Jasper this and your ChatGPT this? And then today I saw a headline about Google Music something that, like, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, are we here? Like, it's here now. And now this becomes a conversation about today. No different than last year, NFTs were of today. When billions of dollars on things are being spent, like, that's today. Now, as I was a very unique voice during that time because I came out aggressively saying things were gonna go 99% zero in the hype. That's because I started realizing what people were doing, which was they weren't in it for the technology or the heart of it, they were in it for the money, which is fine. Human nature, I get how humans work. AI is not gonna have that problem. It's not like people are gonna be trading AI, right? So I think AI is gonna have a very nice rise here. It's gonna be interesting to watch. I consider it part of Web3. In some ways, I think all these new technologies will probably get categorized that way. And I'm excited about it. But as far as the metaverse, I really struggle seeing it not being a big part of life. I just don't know if that's 7 years from now, 3 or 22. So I'm always keeping a side eye on it while I focus on what to execute on today.
I love that. I feel like I'm focused on the future, but you're a today person. I love that.
Well, by the way, Kat, like people, we need everyone. And by the way, I love the romance and the principles of a lot of things of yesterday. I just don't like the executions. We need people like you that are really thinking about stuff because it takes a lot of time and energy on that, and it helps people think. We need people that like the virtues and the values of yesterday. I like the high touch, non-scalable stuff. Like, I'm a big fan of the walking 10 feet of snow, handshake, look a man or a woman in the eye when you talk to them, like curtsy your hat, open the door. I love writing a letter, but I don't want to put it on a pedestal over writing a text if the words are equally beautiful. So, and what I definitely don't want to do is when I'm running a business and or trying to run awareness for a nonprofit or run for office or try to make something happen, I do not want to use yesterday's tactics and think they are today.
And that brings me to you know, authenticity and being relevant. Like, authenticity is part of your ethos. You know, you've been amazing at remaining relevant throughout the years, right? What is your advice to brands as they go into Web3 and now generative AI, metaverse, all this? How do they stay relevant in the age of gaming, AI, metaverse, you know, Web3? Like, it's just this amount of things that are coming at us.
Humility is a big one. Recognizing that the consumer doesn't care about your feelings. Like, to me, I'm aware that my bravado, confidence, excitement, joy, competitiveness is very obvious in the way that I communicate. But my patience and humility is not. That's only obvious through my execution. So the reason I've been able to stay relevant is it's a lot of humility. I realize that yesterday's success means nothing to the consumer today. Nobody cares that I was right about Twitter anymore. They did in 2007, but that doesn't matter anymore. Nobody cares that I was right about Google AdWords, but they did in 2003. Nobody cares that I was right about websites. People's cynicism to websites was equal to their cynicism of NFTs today. Nobody, at the time in 2000, I was a genius amongst my peer group and my business friends for doing a website in 97. Today, telling somebody you have a website is laughable. I also always wonder what's in it for them. Notice when you asked me about why NFTs are valuable, I gave you a scenario that was valuable for Delta and valuable for the flyer of Delta. That becomes a guarantee, right? And so I really try to stay relevant by staying curious. I never get high on my own supply. I've had a good run here. Thank you for saying that. But I think it could all be over tomorrow if I'm not good. It's kind of like, I think of myself as an athlete sometimes, right? Roger Federer is not Roger Federer that we grew up with 15 years ago. Just the nature of how the body works, right? And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs and marketers and executives fall into that trap. They win for 20 years. They have other things that they want to, and sometimes it's beautiful. They want other chapters of their life. They found love late. They want to spend more time with their adult children. They've recognized that they are burnt out and just need some time. Those are beautiful things. For me, I'm very fortunate that I love what I do. And so I want to stay good at it. Why not, right? But that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, but a lot of humility. I really think humility is the secret sauce of staying relevant. It keeps you curious and it keeps you in touch.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, you have the ear of so many people in the business world, so many people in the brand space. You know, when you're thinking about how they market, you know, as things get more and more niche, like what are you telling brands? Like, how do you work with brands in a moment where it's really difficult, right? In some ways, you know, is it difficult to reach their audiences right now?
Yeah, it's very, very, very important for people to understand that the marketing landscape has changed. The internet that we all grew up with is changing. iOS 14.5 really hurt a lot of marketers. They don't know what to do now that they can't cookie everyone and remarket. Creativity and ideas and creative strategy, I think, is at the forefront now. And that's very hard. And most people have been dismissing it for the last 20 years. You have a big problem. The creative and digital was an aftermath to the math. And in traditional, the ideas weren't built on merit. It was a Cannes Lions Ad Week, Ad Age, like it was headlines. The currencies were broken. None of it was consumer centric. Mm-hmm. And now you've got this landscape that's social first,
yeah,
brand building, and most people aren't good at it. It's hard. And it's never been harder to be a good marketer. Like, it's insane how much effort I have to put into it. And I have a lot of natural talents at it. I have infrastructure. And I think it goes back to the things we were talking about, which is I have a lot of empathy, like how brands are built. The tried and true is being challenged. A lot of the principles were not written when the internet existed. The internet now is at full scale. The layer of communication on the internet is built. It's called social media. It's completely changed the world politically, socially, and Madison Avenue is trying to fight reality. And the entire industry does not take social creative serious enough. And it's been to their peril of market share. People have grown through supply chain, distribution, marketing, product innovation, M&A, but most Fortune 5000 companies are not growing because of marketing. And as a matter of fact, it's actually helping a lot of them decline or lose market share. And I want to be a champion of someone who brings that perspective and reality and insight to my partners. And I'm proud that Vayner keeps clients for such a long time. It's not because of my good looks. I promise you that. It's not that, because that's not the real thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Pepsi has been with you guys for such a long time, right?
There's Pepsi and Chase. I mean, the amount of, you know, we're only 13 years old, and the amount, Diageo, the amount of 5+ year clients we have is on and on and on. Mondelez, some of these have been now 9, 10 years. So like, we're really proud of that. And I think it's because we really are playing it differently. We think that the cost of creative is too expensive. We think that comms planning needs much more significant planner strategy that's contemporary, and we'll continue to push that.
I know we have 1 minute left, so I do want to ask you about fashion and luxury. That's a space I work. You know, I'm launching a few connected fashion collections in the coming months. Why do you think fashion has been a first mover in Web3 gaming and everything that's happening?
I think the fashion industry has been very affected by the last 30 years of streetwear collaborations at high fashion. If you look back to 30, 40 years ago, the Gucci's and the Versace's and Louis Vuitton's and Balenciaga and on and Prada, the thought of them doing collaborations with hoodie brands and sneaker brands from the streets of New York and LA would have been like laughable. I think that industry has felt the effects of relevance. And so I think they're moving fast because they get it, right? You look at the Tiffany Nike collaboration. That's because the human being, right, Ruba behind it, gets it. And so, and she gets it because she comes from streetwear. And so I think that they sense in this modern technology an ode to hip hop culture, to streetwear, and I think they smell it. And I'm very impressed by LVMH and others on seeing it. And it's real, and they're going to benefit from it.
100%. Well, Gary, thank you so much for your time. It's been great chatting.
Kat, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode featuring Gary Vaynerchuk. You'll hear from Gary and many other leaders in the industry in season 3 coming later this year. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon. And remember to subscribe and like to the podcast. See you in the metaverse.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.